Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 464. My name is Chris Fricchio, and I am here with Jason Haystriker.
Oh, hi, I'm Jason.
Yeah. And Travis' mom.
Hey, it's Travis, and hey, happy birthday, Jason.
Hey,
happy birthday,
you.
Jason.
Oh, shit. No, you. Another birthday. Fuck.
What are you, like 29, something like that?
29? Yeah. Yeah, someday I'm going to hit 30. Yeah.
Yeah, one of those days.
Yep. I don't look a day. Cool.
Yeah,
over
we got a show for you today. But first, Jason, did you do anything interesting for your birthday?
No, man. I played Dragon's Dogma a little bit.
That's good.
I had some Chicago style pizza, which is my traditional birthday gift. We've got to get it from a special place here in Atlanta. It's like a half hour away, but it's worth it. So
you got
to
get on that place?
Nancy's Pizza.
Nancy's Pizza. Okay. Mm-hmm.
You got to get on that Gold Belly. Have you ever heard of that? Gold Belly?
I have heard of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think we've done that around here.
It'll ship straight to you from anywhere in the country. Any restaurant that is signed up with Gold Belly, they'll package everything up, they'll freeze dry it, and they'll ship it to you. We've done like New Orleans food, gumbo, jambalaya,
Portillo's,
O'boys. Like yeah, we've done a whole bunch of stuff from Gold Belly. Whenever we have some sort of like anniversary or anything over here, that's what my parents get us. They get us $100 in Gold Belly, and we just order out something cool. Try that out. It's good. And there's tons of deep dish on there, and you can get it straight from Chicago.
Shit, man. Okay.
It's cool, right. Dude.
I'm going to think about that. Gold Belly.
Interesting. All right.
This is not brought to you by Gold Belly.
We are not sponsored by Gold Belly. Not even in the slightest.
Yeah.
Aside from anything that, else going on, Jason?
I just got a couple cool gifts from the family. I got this Monster Hunter meat bag. It looks like, you know, the meat that you grill,
but
it's a bag. Yeah. And I wear it around my chest.
Does it play the music?
No, it does not. It's tiny though. It's like this fucking big. It's just itty bitty. Yeah. Like I'm carrying a little purse.
It's a sandwich meat bag is what it is.
That sounds good. It's so small. But, aside from that, I got a Monster Hunter World, art book as well, which is huge.
Nice. Okay,
it's pretty fantastic. So, and also some like some garden gnomes, which are all movie slashers. So, like Michael Myers, nice. Freddy, Jason.
Nice.
Yeah. So our garden's gonna look pretty spooky.
Horror garden gnomes. Yep. Nice.
But other than that, yeah, it's been a pretty chill birthday.
That's all we can ask for.
Yeah.
Once you're past 40, you just need to chill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Once in a while, some barn burners for your birthday are fine. Once in a while.
I'm over that. I am so
you're over it. You're done. Yeah.
Leave me the fuck alone.
At most I go out to dinner with some friends and that's it.
Right.
Like my wife's like, what do you want to do for your birthday? I'm
nothing.
Like nothing. Yep. Just, you know.
Pizza, I my wife, I don't want anything besides turning uninterrupted Dragon's Dogma 2. That's what I wanted for my Dragon's birthday.
Dogma. Yeah. What do you want for your birthday? I'd like to go one day with the kids listening to everything I say on the first turn, on the first try. That would be fantastic. Like dream day.
Do you think you could do the opposite though? Cause I've seen some like YouTube videos where they do the reverse, where it's like the parents can't say no to the kids. Do one of those days and then make sure that you reciprocate it and say, you know, you got to do this.
Now you owe me.
Exactly.
it kind of sounded like it was just a trick to tire them out. Like you say yes to everything and by midday, they're just done.
Yep.
I mean, it could be that too, depending on what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is my son is 13 and he doesn't wear out that quick anymore.
Nope. So. Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Travis, anything going on with you, man?
I changed my dosage on my medicine and I have this great new side effect called insomnia.
Oh yeah.
And it is,
you know what insomnia is great for though? Games.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is really good. I was trying to beat Unicorn Overlord in a week, which is, it's a strategy RPG. Those games are notoriously long, 100-hour plus games. But I got close. I got to the final, what would be like the final chapter in the game, but I just couldn't cross the finish line on that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I am hardcore. So my problem is not falling asleep. It's technically not insomnia. I stay up till about 11 or 12. Mm-hmm. That's normal for me. Go to bed. Yep. But I'm waking up after 3 hours every single night. 3 weeks straight.
Oh, wow. That's awful.
Yeah, 3 weeks straight. Yeah. I had one night in those 3 weeks of 6 hours, a 6 hour of sleep, a good REM cycle in that. Mm-hmm. That was a good night. But other than that, it's been waking up at like 4 in the morning and playing video games all night.
Mine's been fucked up, too. I've actually been up since 1:30 a.m., I think. Oof. So I'm ready for bed.
Hey, we get a lot done, though.
Yeah.
I get a lot done. So...
Probably no Helldivers after this then, huh?
You could talk me into it.
Oh, I can talk you into it? Yep. Okay, cool.
Oh, as long as Travis gets it. Travis, you fucking get it. Seriously, you
love that game. I got the Dogmas, man.
I got the Dogmas too, but Helldivers.
Helldivers.
I am going to get it one day. I know I am. I think I'm just waiting on a sale. Like, I just, for it online only, I need something to pull me in other than, like, because I just know that
your good friends that really want you to play.
Are all playing it.
Well, when you don't have an income,
that's fair.
All right.
Online-only game is it's hard for me to pull the trigger on.
Do I need to buy it for you with my birthday money?
No, don't do that, Jason.
I'll chip in, Jason. We can do it together.
No. I have a wife for that.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. She's amazing. So that's pretty much it, man. I am exhausted, but I am rich with game time.
Yeah.
Rich with it. Good Chris, stuff. What's up with you, bud?
And God, work is awful. Well, it's not awful. It's just so much going on. And I have the joyous task of starting my car shopping tomorrow. I am not looking forward to that.
Your yearly car shop? Yeah.
Four years.
Oh, every four years. Yeah. Okay.
All right, every good. 4 years. Yeah. Yearly, I would be like, no, yeah. I don't need that shit. You keep it. but yeah, so going to look at a couple of two or three vehicles. First one, I will just have my son with me. And then the second one, I'll have the whole family because the second one, I would need my wife to trade in her car to get, and it would be a replacement for what she's currently driving. So, and that's a long shot because she does not want to get rid of the Tesla. So we'll see how that works.
And the Tesla shopping experience was actually pretty awesome because it is, I didn't talk
for
to
you, maybe.
I didn't talk to a single person. I from the moment I
put $1,000 down and then waited like 4 years.
that was a specific time though. It was very hard to get a car then. And also I'm in California. It's very easy to get a car here. I just love that. Like I went from ordering the car, like clicking confirm, to ordering it to picking up my car, and I didn't talk to a soul.
I will say that I am impressed with, I don't know how experienced you are with their service so far.
Oh, I've had some bad experiences actually, man. It started out really well because when you get a Tesla, they do nothing but mobile service. And when you get mobile service, it's great. Like they come in, they drive to you, they fix it on your property, and they drive the hell home. Those experiences have been great. Every time I've gone into a service center, it's always been a thing. And it's it's always been a thing.
Yeah, I've had three experiences with service with my car so far. Mm-hmm. The first one was I had a dude pull out in front of me and my kids were in the car. It was fucking traumatic for them. Mm-hmm. So my daughter does not like my wife's car because of it. But got into a fender bender. I wasn't going very fast. The airbags didn't even deploy, so it was just like mostly body damage in the front. So I was able to drive it around for a while. So I kept driving it and then they brought me in. They said, okay, we can get you on this day and it'll only take about 4 hours. Hmm. So I brought the car in on that day and they literally took it right to the back and started working on it. And I basically worked from the Tesla, this is in Marietta, from the Tesla body shop.
Right.
And, went, got lunch, came back and they were done. So that was a pretty good experience. I had one issue where my navigation stopped working, where I couldn't, like, I could not set a destination. It wouldn't let me. And they actually, I told them what was going on. I sent in the information over the app, and they were like, oh, we figured it out and we fixed it over the air. And I was like, oh shit, that was cool. It didn't cost a thing.
Little software update, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then the other one, the last one was that the front driver's seat, it had a wiring harness issue where it would always, I'm trying to remember exactly what the issue was.
Was the front not opening from the inside?
No, it was a seatbelt. It was a seatbelt issue, but it wasn't actually the seatbelt. It was one of the sensors that checked to see if you had buckled your seatbelt or something like that. So it said that there was some sort of malfunction with the seatbelt. And that was the mobile service that I had. I set that up and they came out. They quoted me like $500 and the guy left and I only paid $100 or something like that. So it's like, yeah, we always give you like the worst case scenario. But once I got under there, I was able to replace just one small piece and it was good. So
that's nice.
Yeah.
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 But I mean, so far, not bad. So I have heard there were horror stories, but I haven't had any yet, luckily.
Yeah. This show is also not brought to you by Tesla.
No, definitely not at all.
No, definitely not. That is one I think we wouldn't accept. I don't even think we would accept it.
Nope.
Chris and I drive the cars and we would not accept that.
That's right.
Not at all.
I drove the cars before someone became a fucking crazy nutbag. So yeah, we'll just say that. Let's talk about games. I'm just going to throw this out there. I played a little bit of Final Fantasy and I played a whole lot of Helldivers.
Yeah.
And we've talked a lot about both of those games. So I'm going to let you guys talk about Dragon's Dogma because that's what I want to hear about.
Go, Travis.
Okay. Chris, you sure you want to hear about this?
Yeah, man, I do. Because I'm trying to decide whether or not I'm going to buy it.
So it just kind of depends on...
Hold on, pause 1 second. Okay. I know that my buddy Eddie is out there listening to this, cursing me right now. What do you mean you're trying to figure out if you're going to buy it or not? I know that's happening. Okay, continue. I'm sorry.
I think this is going to be probably one of the most divisive Game of the Year discussions when Dragon's Dogma is brought into the conversation, because you're going to have half the people that just don't get this game, and you're going to have the other half of the people that are completely in love with it. Yep. I'm leaning on the love side. I got my character up to level 21 today. It sounds like a lot. You level up very quickly in this game. So very, very quickly. I do enjoy that, actually. It's kind of like that Call of Duty type sense of constant improvement. Like every time you play a match, you get the like, and you level up, and you're constantly getting that dopamine rush. As slow as a game at this is, because there is a ton of walking, I appreciate the fact that they acknowledge the slowness of the actual gameplay. So the progression kind of kicks it up a notch. So I like that. But generally, Chris, this is going to be a tough game for me personally to sell to anybody, even huge fans of JRPGs, because
it takes a special breed of person, I think, to really appreciate what Dragon's Dogma is doing. Like it's the Dragon's Dogma freaks out there that are really, really going to love this game. But people that have played it before didn't get into it. You're still not going to do it.
Yeah, because this is. For all intents and purposes, this is, I don't want to say the same game, because it clearly isn't. There's tons of improvements that they've thrown in here, but the bones is the original Dragon's Dogma, without a doubt. The entire skeleton is there.
Yeah, the foundation is the same.
Which is shocking, because Dragon's Dogma, I feel, came out during a time where the open world games were kind of figuring out their footing. This is 2012. Like, they have an idea of where they're going. They know they're going to be big, but they're just trying to figure out how we operate. And then Capcom comes in and has this completely hands-off approach. It's the first time we've seen this type of approach to open world since Skyrim. And it's even more so than Skyrim, because they're not that, they limit how many map markers there are. They limit how many, how you're able to, get hints towards where you're headed next in a quest. All that's done contextually in the world, in the game, with the characters. And that it was like that in one, and it's like this in two. And it's weird. I'm going to stop calling them Dragon's Dogma 1 and 2. Jason, did you notice this in the, when you kick off the main menu, it says Dragon's Dogma 2.
Yes.
But once that is done, and you enter the game and you get the initial story title splash, mm-hmm. they completely remove the two from Dragon's Dogma. It's just Dragon's Dogma. When you go into the menus,
it's a way of life.
There is no two. It is just Dragon's Dogma. It's almost like outside of their marketing, mm-hmm. they don't want to call this a sequel.
Yeah, this was actually a lot of this, including the new race that's involved. They wanted to have included in the first game, so this is like kind of a culmination of you know what they wanted to do mm-hmm. originally. So yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and a lot of things that I love about this is what I loved about the first game. I think the combat is your core mechanic of the entire experience. You have,
and it's going to differ variously between the different locations. So
yeah, because I made it a point this in my early experience with this game to actually after I hit like half of my vocation experience, mm-hmm. I'm swapping over to another one and I'm trying all four classes. Yeah. I've done three out of four classes, and you're also building up those passives as well, because yep. when you level up, you earn passives and you can save those passives to your other classes as well. So you can have like magic user passives for your fighter class if mm-hmm. it makes sense for your build. So seeing that you can do some minor, you know, build creation, yep. That's new for this game, yeah, and I really appreciate that.
There's also the Wayfarer vocation. I don't know if that's a spoiler, but that's like you can be a mage, run up your ice slope, and then mm-hmm. pull out your two-handed greatsword and come down on some fucking ogre's skull. It's pretty amazing.
It seems very expert class. That's going to be a tough one to like. It'll be like moderately difficult to get good, but mm-hmm. like to master it, I think it's going to take some. There are going to be some impressive YouTube videos. You know, you've seen yeah. videos like on TikTok and YouTube or like YouTube Shorts where it's just like someone playing Last of Us 2 and they're just like they're killing everybody like yep. massively with like yeah. I see videos like this coming with Dragon's Dogma. It's so stylized. Mm-hmm. It's so fun. I really dig it because it's not just like slashing your swords or your weapons or shooting magic. It's you can pick up boulders and throw them at enemies. You can pick up dead enemies and throw them at enemies.
You can jump up and grab the nuts of a cyclops and start stabbing him repeatedly in the junk. It's
yeah,
so satisfying.
It's so satisfying. It's so good.
Yeah, you can. They do enemy climbing better than anybody in the business. Seriously, yeah. You run up, you jump, you hold right trigger, and you will fucking cling onto them. From there, you can climb to any portion of their body and just start stabbing. It's so much fun.
It's great.
And that also works for like flying enemies. You can jump on the back of a griffin and just have it start flying around, and you're on the back yeah. of it like, okay, take me wherever we're going to go.
A griffin took me up and nice. I lost my grip.
Your stamina lost, yeah.
Yeah, I dropped all the way. But so I landed in the water.
That sounds very Shadow of the Colossus, what you guys are talking about right now.
But as far they're as it's not that big of monsters. You know, they don't have like big glowing weak spots or anything yeah. like that. So it's like a cyclops is probably 2 to 3 times the size of a human or something like that. So
gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, it's not quite as
yeah.
And well, you did say jump up and grab his junk. So yeah. That's a pretty good visual of how big they are.
Yep. Yeah, they're pretty. Yeah, they're pretty beefy. So yeah, the combat is really what keeps you in the yeah. game. And while as you're going through the world, it's such a slow pace and it's so non-handholding. You're going to spend your first, I would even say, 10 hours just learning the game, learning how to properly play, because like you'll mm-hmm. get an idea of how the inventory system works, but you don't know how to, like, it's going to take you 10 hours to kind of figure out how to get the inventory system to seamlessly flow with your gameplay loop to where you're not losing so much time and kind of like, because one thing that I cannot stand, and this is something with Unicorn Overlord that is kind of driving me nuts, is I love the combat, I love the gameplay, all that there is. There's so much left. It's pretty to look at. It's vanillaware. But every time you finish a fight, you get a new character and new abilities, and you have to go and you have to mm-hmm. stop and build out your characters and build out your squads. And like the ebb and flow of like gameplay, charts and graphs and yep. numbers and gameplay. It's just so much. And Dragon's Dogma starts out like that. And I'm just getting to the point where I feel like my gameplay loop is starting to smooth out a little bit. And I even have some of the consumable items to where if my trek is too far, mm-hmm. I can just go ahead and fast travel back.
Good.
So I'm getting to that point, I
have paralysis with this game, like choice paralysis, because it's so important that you've got to have a good start to the game, because I've already encountered a situation where I didn't unlock something in the first town that I went to, and now I've got to try and make the trek all the way back there to unlock this thing mm-hmm. and continue this one quest line. They're not forgiving or even appreciative of your time. You will be walking for hours in this game and with random encounters, you know, goblins in between. At night, you're going to get skeletons and shit like that.
I love it.
It's ridiculous, but
it's so high tension. It's so great at night. It is pitch black. It is realistically, if you've ever been on a cruise ship at night and looked out into the water and realized how pitch black it is outside, it's nuts.
But you've got a lantern that you can kind of turn on as well, but you need oil for it as well, which is like
it's plentiful. It's not that bad. It's plentiful. Yeah,
it is, but at the same time, it's like that's something else I gotta manage and be aware of, and it I don't know, it lends to the depth of this game, I think.
Story-wise, I think this is going to be very similar to the last one. Like, they put some effort into it. They definitely put effort into a story. I don't think it's going to be the centerpiece. It wasn't in the last one, and it doesn't seem like it's going to be, but I'm still kind of early on. I just wanted to get the good stuff out of the way, because after this, like, you really have to talk about performance, and it's just yet another example for me personally that I'm sick of this console generation. Like, I'm ready for something new. Like, I'm
just stagnant at 30 frames per second and kind of blurry visuals.
That's scary, because this console generation is not even 4 years old yet.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Didn't the PS5 come out in 2020?
Yeah.
Isn't that when it came out?
Yeah.
And now, like, the Pro is coming out. So they're saying the Pro is coming out.
Still struggling to just keep a solid 30 frames per second. And PC, which is what I'm playing, is not faring that much better, to be honest. It's really poorly optimized, especially when you get into cities. You're losing a ton of frames. Like, I've got a pretty beefy card. I've got a 470 Ti. It was hitting like 30 frames per second and dipping below that when I was in cities. Luckily there was a DLSS 3 mod that I included, and that's made it buttery smooth since then. That's great. But
it's a mod. Why is it a mod and not?
Yeah.
That's so weird.
And it's all that it's like, doing is it's enabling the files that are already there, that Capcom already included, but just didn't turn on. Mm. So I don't know if they know something I don't know, you know,
yeah, but it
seems
that
to be working fine for me. I don't know why they didn't turn this on for people, but it's frame generation that is really doing the help there.
It was an interesting decision to see them run the game with an uncapped frame rate. That's, I'm not used to that. And like, I think that kind of saves it for me, believe it or not. I think it's the saving grace, because between the fact that it will go above 30 quite often, except when you're in a town, like when you're in towns, you're going to get 30 or below. Oof. No questions asked. Oof. But they have I've never said this before. They have a very good motion blur in the game. A very, very good motion blur.
Yes, I've actually got that turned on because I'm usually very, very sensitive to it.
Same.
I hate motion blur. I usually turn it off on everything.
I do too, but this seems to smooth things out pretty well.
It's a really good one. It's a really, really good one. It's actually impressive that this is the RE engine. I didn't realize it until I booted up the game and I saw the logo pop up. And
they're using it for everything. Yeah.
Everything, yeah. So overall, Chris, I will say the performance not once has given me a negative experience. I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of the conversation. I'm tired of, you know, not like some games hitting and some games not. Like, I'm just tired of the inconsistencies. I know not all developers are created equal. I know the job that they do is hard. But we see we see successes in this area, but we're seeing a lot more opportunity, and I'm tired of it.
I think my issue is that they're trying so hard to appease those that want like the highest possible level of fidelity that they're not focused on understanding that, like we've said so many times, diminishing returns. Like, there's not a whole lot, there's not much further we can go. It's like, just scale it back a little bit and make sure your game performs right. It's an issue.
We say that, but I could have easily played Final Fantasy VII Rebirth in 60 frames from start to finish, and I could not do it because of the diminishing returns graphically. It was too bad for me. The one thing I will say is that I think Dragon's Dogma looks absolutely beautiful.
I will go against that. But I don't think it is. I think in certain circumstances, especially in like minor cutscenes. I think the facial like animation and textures and stuff, I think, look great. But I think in motion, that game struggles.
I agree.
And the textures in the backgrounds and everything are a little muddy and blurry. But I will, absolutely give you credit for the facial animations and stuff.
Especially the facial animation of my character, which you're looking at him right there.
Took 14 hours to get there.
It was Jesus. 14 hours exactly. 14 hours to the minute. And I got my character looking like me, kind of. I have the character looking like a 27-year-old version of me. How about that? I'm not going to make this.
Right?
Come on. Yeah. This is a template. So... but overall, I don't want to end it on the bad stuff. I do think that this game looks great. You're right. There are some muddy textures, especially when you're looking at indoor textures. That's where the game kind of starts showing its warts. But when you're spending so much time outside in the wilderness, and that's where I think the game shines. Like, the lighting is top notch. The way it like beams through in real time, like through the trees or like in between buildings, and like splashes white hot light against like different textures, like stone and grass. And it's just a whole bunch. They did a really, really good job with that for me. The grass, everything moves with the wind or moves when you walk through it. There are some, you know, they had to scale some things back. You can see a lot of pop in. You can see the resolution of trees when you start walking closer. You can see the resolution start to get more high def as you get closer. You can see those the blurred seams, lines a little
the,
bit.
The seams.
You can. But I still find the stylized look plus how
overall,
they crafted it to be.
Overall, it's not bothering me at all. I just, at some point, we got to talk about the microtransactions.
They're microtransactions?
Yeah, I guess so. So here's the thing. This shit is blown way the fuck out of proportion. Like, it's not that big of a deal. Like, Capcom has been including these types of microtransactions forever. Like in Devil May Cry, you could buy currency there, shit like that for like $1.99, get a bunch of skulls or whatever the fuck. It's the same here. You can buy a lot of Rift crystals. You can buy some character changing abilities which you can already do inside the game. That's it's very cheap, it's very easy to do, but people have latched onto this and said that you have to pay $1.99 in order to edit your character. And that's extremely misleading, because it's not that you have to do it. It's that if you're extremely lazy and want to do it, you pay $1.99. Otherwise, you get 500 fucking Rift crystals and you can change your character, which is not that much.
It's not so hard.
Yeah, and it's the same thing with the fast travel business. There's nothing that they're offering microtransaction wise that you cannot already earn in game. So, like I said, it's blown out of proportion.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm one of the first people that will say these fucking microtransactions suck in a lot of games, but they're very avoidable and negligible in this situation. So
this isn't Infinite Wealth, New Game Plus,
right?
Locked yeah. behind a paywall.
Yep. There is one thing that I'm super fucking concerned about, and it's that I cannot choose a new game with the PC version. Like, I've created a character, I've created a pawn. Maybe I want to reset that. Maybe I want to start over again so I can get that, you know, portal in that one town that was 6 hours ago.
Hmm.
There's no option to do a new game.
Yeah, there's only one character slot.
Yep.
And you have three
and you can't,
save slots.
And you can't delete that old save to start a new one. It's that's weird.
Weird.
Yeah, can you
weird.
Delete it in Windows? Like, can you delete?
Yeah, I mean, yes, if you know can. Where the save file is.
However, yeah, the Nuvo shit that they've got included with it only allows for, like, you know, five different installs, and they count each time that you delete your save files as a new install. So
what?
Yes, it's the Nuvo DRM, which is fucking weird and intrusive and bullshit. But yeah,
that's messed up.
It's there's some wacky shit going on with this fucking release, for real.
Guys, we are getting closer and closer. We are at the point where we know we don't actually own our games. Mm-hmm. That's really frustrating.
Yep. But like I said, like the microtransaction thing is nothing to really worry about. So it's nothing new that they're doing. And it's not hindering anybody's experience. Yeah. So I'll stand by that.
I actually have not even seen anything about the microtransactions yet. So I just saw you guys chatting about it
right now. Oh my God. Everybody's saying that. Yeah. They're charging to swing your sword. They're charging to do this.
I
and
saw
that,
charging to fast travel or something like that. I saw someone mention that.
Well, they're selling fairy stones. It's the consumable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're selling fairy stones. They're selling the port stone or whatever. The one thing that you lock into place. And there are like 10 of those in the world. The fairy stones they are not selling.
Well, that's good.
Yes.
That's good.
I don't think
that
so.
That sucks. Anyway. They're selling the port stones, though. That's still kind of the same. Just,
you can only get one.
You can only get
one. Just...
Oh, wow. That's weird. Okay.
So what does that mean? You get like one additional fast travel place?
It's a fast travel point. Yep. You can place it anywhere you want. If there's like a big gap somewhere in the world, because the game definitely like makes you put in the work in the very beginning, and then they slowly start to introduce things that make that work a lot less hard. So you earn it, and then they reward you at the end. I don't know. Like I'm loving the game. I think I'm through the tough part. I think I'm done with the hard part of the game, and I'm into like the normal gameplay loop that's going to see me through the next, 40, 50, 60 hours. And I still, to this day, get so giddy whenever I wake up at the inn from sleeping overnight. And then my pawn comes to me and says, "Hey, I just got back from someone else's world. Let me show you all the stuff that we did." And I love the fact that someone can take my pawn with them for X amount of times and just earn stuff for me.
Like, I get money for it.
That's super interesting.
It's a really, really cool system. Yeah. And it's so exciting when you come back to an inn. It's like somebody hired your pawn. You got some bonus shit. And it's like, they like my character. That's great.
And they could be playing with them right now, Chris. Yep. So when I get back to my game, my character, which is my wife, by the way. So when they're done with my wife, when she comes back, she's going to have some stuff for, she's going to have some sugar for daddy. So
make her work. Yeah.
But that's
so in the game, the pawns are prostitutes. Apparently that's what we're saying.
Prostitutes for murder.
Yeah.
Murder prostitutes.
But they're teaching each other and shit. It's really weird. Like you have two pawns that you hire from somebody else, right?
Yep.
And you go to an area that they've never been to and they're like, "Oh, I can't wait to tell my master about this area, this treasure chest, this area or whatever." So they'll go back and then they'll have that knowledge. And then when they come across it in world, they'll say, hey, I know about this treasure chest, follow me, and they'll take you to it. It's some it's some crazy fucking AI
cool,
but it's fucking awesome. It's
That's really, really cool. I like that a lot.
And the same works for quests as well. So if my character goes and does a quest that I haven't done, she'll come back and say, master, I've in another journey with another Arisen, I went ahead and did this. Let me show you the way. And you no longer have to navigate where you go. You press a button to say go, and they take you to the, it makes traveling a lot easier.
Yep.
And they do have the ox carts too, which for some reason I never use, but the ox carts also make it a lot easier because like you take off and it's slow at first, but then it's you can doze off.
Poor man's fast travel. Like
but you can doze off and then like you arrive after you get attacked because you're going to get attacked.
But you can get attacked. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And if your cart gets destroyed, then you're back to walking. So you got to make sure you defend. There's so much cool stuff in this game. So Chris, I don't know if this sounds like we're selling you or not, but
it's tough because the game's brutal and it's,
I think the key was when you guys said that the game doesn't respect your time. And that's really hard for me to deal with because I don't have a lot of time for games right now as it is.
Right.
So it's a difficult thing to get past.
They sacrifice that, in the sake of immersion, I guess, they really want you to travel.
I want a less immersive difficulty that points out where all the quests are and that kind of shit. Like that's where I'm at right now. I'm fucking 48. I don't have time for this shit.
I get that. But the highs, in the combat and some of the, role play aspects, I guess, far outweigh
this sounds like that I'm
not keen about.
And it's also a playground for just random shit to happen, like a random griffin to like fly down on you. Like I said this in the Discord chat earlier. I was like, I've never so much in one playthrough, I've never said, oh my god, holy shit, what the hell, out loud so many times, because you're in the dark and you have just your lantern, it's pitch black, and you have maybe like a 15 meter radius around you, and the next thing you know, you see towering over you this huge high cyclops just appears out of nowhere. Like it's moments like that, they're completely unscripted. I would say 95% of this game is probably unscripted, and you can have some really amazing stuff.
There's some not really,
I feel like this game would for me would probably fall in the same type of category of how I would play it as Elden Ring did, because Elden Ring that was out a couple months before I bought it. And then once I bought it, I was like, I'm not prepared to fuck around. I'm just going to bring up a walkthrough and I'm going to choose what I want to do, figure out how to do it. And that's what I'm going to do. It seems like that's how I would consume this type of game.
And that's absolutely fine. And that's kind of what's making me hesitant to play it right now. Like I'm not getting as deep into it because I kind of want more guides. I kind of want better pawns to rent or whatever.
I enjoy seeing check out this build. That stuff is fun to me. Like seeing me that stuff. So I consumed so many of those types of videos before I started playing like Baldur's Gate.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like I must have changed the concept of my character in my head at least 18 times, just like seeing different kind of like class combinations of how you could build your character. And I did the same thing with Elden Ring. Like Elden Ring, I was looking at, you could dual wield the great swords, you could dual wield hammers. Like some of the shit you could do with dual wielding hammers is amazing. And I really feel like that's the type of experience I would want to get out of this game. So I'm not going to discount it and say I'm not going to play it, but I have a feeling this is going to be one of those things where if there is a lull in the summer, maybe I'll pick it up and I'll guide my way through it, essentially.
It took me years to get into Dragon's Dogma, and it took me a couple attempts of playing the game and bouncing off of it. And then just like... During COVID, I started streaming it, and I got super into it, and I ended up streaming the entire game because I loved it so much. Okay. So it can certainly get your hooks in you. I think the moment has to be right, though.
And Dragon's Dogma 1 did something interesting. So at the end of the grand adventure, they instituted in their Dark Arisen DLC an in-game. Mm-hmm. And it essentially turned Dragon's Dogma. There's no more traveling. It just turned Dragon's Dogma into a dungeon crawler.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. It's very difficult, but it was awesome. And I am very, very excited to see what they do for their in-game this time around. Sure. And if it's the same thing as what they did in Dark Arisen,
I'm fine
with that.
Yeah.
I'm cool with it. So I'm pumped for what happens after the story in this game, because it was kind of unexpected and special in the first game. So there are high expectations for me, which I wouldn't be surprised if they just turn around and do the same exact thing. It would not surprise me, but I'm pumped to see what they can do.
Yep.
But that's Dragon's Dogma. It's pretty good.
It's a tough sell, but man, fucking A.
When it works.
When it works, yeah, it's really
it
good.
It works. That's it. Anybody else got any games to talk about?
Helldivers.
Right. Do you want to talk some Helldivers, Jason?
I got my son into Helldivers. Like, that's finally.
Yeah,
we've been waiting for weeks to have this bug fixed, because I've got a copy on PlayStation 5. I've got a copy on PC. They could not send invites back and forth. And I think I bitched about this last week, but
yeah,
that has been fixed for us. Not everybody. But it works now for us. So we've been playing for the past few days, like immediately after school. It's the first thing he wants to do. Normally he gets a snack or something. No, it's immediately running up to my room to play Helldivers. So we've just been going through trivial difficulty and just focusing on just like, the squad commands and, different loadouts and shit like that. And just making sure that we got the basics down, and doing a lot of fucking fist bumps and saying, oh shit, you got it. You got my back. I don't say shit, but he does. He doesn't. You know, what's funny is like, he has a problem saying hell. He'll go, the H-E double hockey sticks. But when we talk about Helldivers, he just says Helldivers. Like, nice. Like, he's just natural. But
my dad used to tell me that, I was like, Dad, why are there so many bad words in songs? And he's like, well, buddy, like, it's not a bad word if it's in a song. It's not a curse word. And I was like, oh, okay. What he didn't realize was that I was going to walk around and start like, singing curse words all the time. Like, he was trying to like not demonize something, and he ended up doing the complete opposite. And I'm like, police.
Yeah, 90s rap.
Words, and they're used in specific circumstances, and that's all there is to it. So
that's all there is to it.
Yep. But
that's what we teach our kids too.
Yep.
But we also teach our kids that just because they're just words and it's all about the context doesn't mean you can go out into public and start screaming them.
There are certain places in which you can use them as well.
Yes, yes.
That's also part of the explanation. So he's got a good grasp of that, thankfully. But he loves this game. And awesome. I am having the best time. So even though he shot me in the fucking face today with a grenade launcher, trying to hit a little fucking bug at point blank range, sailed right over it into my fucking head, killed me instantly. We have to talk about those situations. So
that sounds, well, I that mean, sounds, Jason, that sounds personal. A
learning experience right there.
You have to think about, Jason, did you deserve it?
Like, yeah,
that's really what you need to think about.
Probably.
That's what I was saying. It sounded personal, man. Like, yeah. I think Jason did something.
Probably.
Yeah, we're still playing a ton of it too. Like, I've got like two or three different groups that are playing right now, and I'm like, there's always someone online playing it, and I'm like, all right, cool. Yeah. It's really pushed me, like, it hasn't pushed me away from Final Fantasy. I think Final Fantasy has pushed me away from Final Fantasy. I'm just not ready for it now. And I was kind of gung-ho at first, and I was like, you know what, just gonna jump right into Rebirth. I'm just gonna do it. And I thought about, like, at first we were talking about take a break, do like a dragon, play like a dragon first or something like that. And I was like, you know what? I want to talk about it with you guys, so I'm just going to jump in. And now I've gotten to the point where, you know, whenever I'm in combat, I'm just like, I don't want to do it right now. I feel like I need a break from this, you know? Yeah. So I'm kind of stepping away from it right now. I I'm still just playing Helldivers, but it, like outside of Helldivers, I got to figure out what that other game is going to be. Mm-hmm. It might be Unicorn Overlord. I might break that out and start playing it.
Just about to say it. You want guides, yeah. Chris. The yeah. guides are out.
Oh, good. Man. I've seen a bunch of them. Like, this is the build that works. And you know, use these 5 units for the early game powerhouse or whatever.
Chris, like, I found the S tier of all S tiers. I found the one video that just kills them all. It's
send it my way, bro. I'll play some Unicorn Overlord next week.
It truly breaks the game. I'm on normal difficulty, so I haven't like
that's what I need. I need breaks the game.
It literally you can take this one unit. Yep. You can take this one unit, get all your stamina refills, and just beat every stage with one unit. It's
nice.
Unheard of. Yeah.
I'll send it my way. I'll certainly take a look because that's the thing. It's like you guys know me and my view of Vanillaware and what they do. Yeah. Like there is very little that Vanillaware has done in the past where I've been like, nah. Like Muramasa, like Odin Sphere, Dragon's mm-hmm. Crown, even like all Grim that Grimoire, shit. I fucking yeah. love it. Yeah, Grim Grimoire, like all of that is, I love it. And, you know, when I played the demo of Unicorn Overlord, and I was like, this, I don't feel like this is for me. Mm-hmm. And it kind of hurt me inside a lot. So
the gambits are a lot. It takes a while to understand what you're looking for.
The molding of your squads and things like that. I love that stuff.
It's so good, Chris.
There's a lot of opportunity for that shit. Yeah.
The gambits are the part that makes it confusing, but you learn it. The guides help with that. The guides kind of start to show you what you're trying to synergize and bridge together. And once, I was doing guide squads as well, but once I like made my first like really good squad on my own with my own gambits, I was like, okay, that felt good. Yeah. I'm never doing that again, but that felt good.
That's my one. That's all I need. Yeah. I just needed the one.
So, any other games, gents? Are we moving on to news?
I think we can move on to some news.
All right. We have one. We have one single news. Solitary. Yeah, you would think.
Do we need to wait for Jason to come back because he just decides to leave in the middle of the podcast?
It's all right. Jason knows exactly what this news item is because I share the news with all of you guys because we're professional.
That's right.
And professionals try to stretch out time ever so slowly whenever one of their members has to step away and leave.
So what did we do the last time he did this? We started talking fantasy football.
We did.
We're not going to do that again, though.
I got something for you.
Here we go.
I'm not doing fantasy
football. Sorry, guys. You said that.
Yeah. I was thinking about it.
Oh, okay.
Now I know I'm not.
So the league is going to just default for a year?
I'm going to pass it on to Dave if he wants it.
Okay.
If he wants it. So I have to ask him.
I mean, if he doesn't, let me know. Cause it's an ESPN league and I already run an ESPN league. So it wouldn't be too hard for me to pick up another one.
Okay.
But
well, I'll let you know. And at this point, I'm running out of things to stretch time about. I will go ahead and talk about this news. Yeah. Chris, I know you love Baldur's Gate. I love Baldur's Gate. It was our game of the year.
Good.
It was our game of the year unanimously, and I think...
Unanimously. Well, I think almost unanimously.
Almost unanimously.
Almost yeah, unanimously.
That's right.
I will say, for listeners of the podcast, Jeff had not finished the game when he decided that Baldur's Gate was his number two, and I did ask him after he finished, if you would have finished before the game of the year show, would it have been your game of the year? And he said, yes. So... technically, sort of unanimous. All right, cool. Yeah.
Well,
I'm sticking with that.
Well, everybody who is chomping at the bit for Baldur's Gate 4 got a little bit of sour news because this weekend was GDC and Larian CEO Sven Vinke was stated during an address at GDC today.
As he was wearing chainmail, I assume.
Of course. It was plate mail. Show some respect, Jay.
He was wearing plate mail?
No. Right.
The studio is finished with Baldur's Gate 3. That means that we'll not get any expansions, nor will they be making Baldur's Gate 4. Now, the CEO was quoted saying, "We are a company of big ideas. We are not a company that is made to create DLCs or expansions. We tried that, actually, a few times. It failed every single time. It's not our thing. Life is too short. and our ambitions are very large.
Awesome.
So they basically said the ball is in Wizards of the Coast's court whenever they decide to do Baldur's Gate 4, but Larian will not be doing it.
Yeah. I don't trust Wizards of the Coast to do anything meaningful with this IP, but
no,
not anything that's worthwhile, I guess. But I'm all for Larian just wanting to do their own shit. They deserve that, I think. And I'll be honest with you.
Absolutely
check out whatever they put out.
Yeah, whatever they put out next, man. I'm gonna check it out. Like I know how much Jeff talked about
Divinity.
What was it called? Divinity. Yeah. How much he talked about Divinity and like I never even really looked at those games until Baldur's Gate 3 came out. I mean, I'm not going to say I'm going to go back and play them, but whatever Larian is working on next, I am attentive to it. I want to know what they're doing. I want to see what it's all about. Cause I'm certainly interested in, just like the quality and the depth that they put out with this game. So they've certainly got my attention.
I just hope they put it on Stadia first, you know?
Chris, you want to tell him?
You know, that's actually how we bought it first.
Yeah, that's how I got it on Steam. Bought it on Stadia and got it for free on Steam.
I thought that was just a random goof. That was actually a thing.
No, so Stadia. Wow. So they actually, Larian actually got a deal with Google where they were doing early access on both Steam and Stadia at the same time.
Okay.
So what we did, and the reason I did it this way is because Crystal didn't have a PC that was powerful enough to really run the game. So I was like, look, why don't we just get it on Stadia and you can just stream it. You can just do it that way. And she's like, oh, okay, let's try that. So I didn't buy any other Stadia games. Like I never paid any for any other Stadia games.
Same.
But I bought Baldur's Gate. Right. So Baldur's Gate, Crystal played Baldur's Gate. Every time they released a new class, she played the early access through all the way through. So she went through it, I think like 5 or 6 times on Stadia. Right. And then Stadia went belly up but good on Google the way they did it. They refunded everybody's money for the hardware and for all the software. I got a
$90 check from those guys one day. It was great.
Yeah, and we got $60 back for the game, and I just said just go buy it on Steam and play it on Steam now. And she's like, all right, cool, because I had a buddy of mine was upgrading his computer, and he had a relatively good little PC. It was as good as my previous gaming rig. So I was like, yeah, I'll just pick that up for you. He's like $400. I'm like, cool, I'll pick that up, and Crystal can use it.
Nice,
you know. So that's how she ended up playing Baldur's Gate. But yeah, Stadia was a thing with Gold. They were there first. I think they were the first early access game to hit Stadia.
That sounds right.
Yeah. Wow.
So.
Wow.
I still have that controller. That controller is pretty damn good. And they actually let you unlock it so you could do Bluetooth to your PC.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good.
But not anymore. Like there was a window that you had to do that. Yep. And if it went past that date, you were unable to download that stuff. And
That sucks.
It was weird.
Oh, someone will hack it somewhere.
Oh yeah, sure.
It'll happen.
And it's done. They did it.
Good. It's already done. cool. Any other news or anything, Travis?
That is it. Just the one item, and I think we're done, boys.
Yeah, I think that's a show, gents. Lots of Dragon's Dogma with a little bit of Helldivers in. I'm gonna go play some Helldivers in a minute, so
I'll join you.
Jason, you're gonna come play Helldivers?
Yes, absolutely.
Let's do it. Travis, you should come play Helldivers.
I should. I know. I gotta go eat dinner. I gotta remember I'm West Coast time, so
You're three hours behind. Yeah.
Dude, I will walk you through missions. Like, let's do this seriously.
Yeah, no kidding. We'll run through it.
Absolutely worth it.
Yeah.
All right, I'll get it. I'm not going to play it tonight. I'm playing Dogma, but I'll get it this week.
Okay.
Guaranteed, I'll get it this week.
Cool. Well, thank you all for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us and like, subscribe, and comment. All those things help us out a lot. Mm-hmm. So we really appreciate it when you do it, especially the comments. I love interacting with the community. Check out interactivedistractors.com. That'll lead you to our link tree. And from there, you can find our Discord server, which you can certainly join and come and hang out with the community. Yeah. We are growing and we love talking to you all. So it's just, you know, it's fantastic experience with all of you. Our Patreon there is on there too, if you want to support us. And that's about it. Follow us on Twitter. We are Indus Podcast, and individually we are Indus Chris, Unistrike, and Travis D Bomb, as well as Indus Geoff, who is not here.
Geoff.
Geoff. Nice. Just throwing that in for just for
posterity.
But I think that's it, gents. So until next time, my name is Chris.
Hey, I'm Jason.
I'm Travis.
Play your games, and we'll talk to you next week.